Chapter 3. Well, I haven't left yet. There's no reason we can't have a little fun before I go back east, Aunt Faye said. We had driven in silence for about 15 minutes. I noticed she was pulling into the crowded parking lot of a shopping mall. Fun was the last thing on my mind. Come on, Ben. You're starting 10th grade, and you're going to need new clothes, especially with the way you're growing. I figure your mother won't mind if we went school shopping. School shopping. It was what we did every August. Before Grandma died, she used to come with us too. As soon as the back-to-school commercials would start on TV, Grandma and Aunt Faye would start getting excited. To them, school was just as important as church. God put a good head on your shoulders. It's your job to use it, Grandma would say all the time. Grandma's right. Aunt Faye always chimed in. The reason I'm a teacher is because I got an education and made something of myself. That's what you're going to do too, Ben. For a while, it seemed that way. When I was little, I was a good student, and they were always proud of me. See how smart Ben is? Grandma would say each time I brought my report card home with A's and B's. One day he's going to be president. All that changed in middle school. That's when I started caring more about my friends than my schoolwork. My grades got so bad, I failed sixth grade. My aunt, mom, and grandma were so mad, they grounded me the entire summer. No TV, no video games, no computer, not even a radio. All they gave me were books. For a while, I didn't open them. But then I got so bored, I started reading. I liked it. My old friends made fun of me. Who you trying to be? They'd say if they caught me carrying a book. But they weren't the ones with Grandma and Aunt Faye nagging them all the time. And they didn't have the guilty feeling I had whenever we went school shopping after my problems in sixth grade. It felt so wrong to see my family spending their money on my new school clothes when all I did there was fail. Maybe it was the books or the guilt, I'm not sure, but I never failed again. It all happened years ago, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. Aunt Faye did, too. I could see it in her eyes. Come on, Ben, she said again. Let's make sure you're ready for Bluford. I nodded and stepped out of the car, wondering if it was the last time Aunt Faye and I would shop together. Hours later, after buying clothes and getting tacos at the food court, Aunt Faye and I drove back to the house. Larry's car was parked at the curb outside when we arrived. Seeing it made my stomach turn. Before I go, I want to give you something, Ben, Aunt Faye said as I got ready to leave. She handed me an envelope. What's this? I asked, opening it up. There was $50 inside. You already bought me clothes, Aunt Faye. You don't need to be spending more on me, I said, trying to hand it back to her. She brushed my hand aside. Keep it, Ben. Call it rainy day money. When you need it, use it, she said. You're old enough to spend it wisely. I shook my head but hid the money deep in my pocket. Thanks, I said, wishing Grandpa would get better and Aunt Faye would never leave. She smiled at me and then eyed our house. I think I'll come in for just a minute, she said. Maybe Larry knows when your mom's coming home today. We walked toward the front door. I could hear the TV growing louder as we got closer. I opened the door and found Larry sitting in his chair, flipping channels, a beer in one hand, the remote in the other. TV was so loud my ears hurt, but he didn't seem to care. His eyes narrowed for a second when he saw Aunt Faye. Larry, can you turn that down a bit? She asked. I knew she was checking out the house. There was a barely hidden frown on her face the whole time. Larry turned down the TV slightly, but it was still pretty loud. I hope y'all put some curtains up, Aunt Faye said. The only coverings on the front windows were the tattered green shades that came with the house. Yeah, well, it's hard to be working and fixing things up at the same time, Larry said. You're welcome to come in and do it yourself if you want. But I hear you're leaving us soon. I could tell Larry was happy to say this. You could hear it in his voice. I'm sure Aunt Faye heard it too. My plane leaves the Saturday before Labor Day, Aunt Faye said. I need you to take good care of Ben and Geneva while I'm away.
They can take care of themselves,
Larry replied between sips of his beer.
They don't need you or me doing it for them.
Aunt Faye frowned, but Larry ignored her. He flipped stations a few more times, stopping on a sports channel. Tell Geneva I'll call her later, Aunt Faye instructed. Larry grunted and gulped his beer again. She shook her head and asked me to come out to her car with her. I'll try to get back here one more time before I leave, she said when we got outside. If you need anything before then, call me, understand? I nodded. We need you to stay, I wanted to tell her. Yet my mouth was suddenly frozen shut. She needed to see her father. I couldn't ask her not to go. But without her, my mom and I were in trouble. My bruised face and sore legs were proof of that. An hour later, I was up in my room hiding the money Aunt Faye gave me under my mattress when I heard Larry coming up the steps.
Do me a favor, Benny boy. Go up to the corner, make a right, and go about 6 blocks until you see Cat's Sandwich Shop. Get some cheesesteaks and a bag of chips for your mom and me. Here's money. Get something for yourself and bring back the change, he ordered, handing me $15. It was the nicest he'd ever treated me, so I listened without even thinking about it. I wish I didn't.
Finding Cats was easy. Union Street was busy with apartments and a few small businesses, including a laundromat, a check cashing store, and an old barber shop. But once I turned up the corner, things changed. Except for a liquor store, there were almost no businesses. Most of the houses had bars on their first floor windows. By the time I'd crossed the 6 blocks to Cats, I'd passed groups of kids my age sitting on corners watching me pass. I'd been in the city all my life and knew how to carry myself, but I was a stranger in this new neighborhood, a target. Walking back in the hot August afternoon with a bag full of sandwiches, I knew I had to move quick. I'd gone about 4 blocks when I heard someone yell out to me.
Yo, homie, what you running for?
I turned to see 2 guys rushing toward me from across the street. The one who was talking was tall and muscular. He looked like a boxer wearing baggy jeans and a muscle shirt. The other was my height, but with a mean, angry face. He had on jeans, a saggy blue t-shirt, and a backwards hat. I walked faster, but they kept up with me.
Boy, I'm talking to you,
the big kid yelled out again. He crossed the street and stepped in my path. I was only a block and a half from Union Street. I could see it in the distance, but it was still too far away.
Man, I don't have time for this. I gotta be somewhere, I said, trying to step around him.
I shifted the sandwich bag so my right hand was free, just in case I had to hit someone.
You ain't going nowhere till we say so,
the kid said, blocking me and turning to his friend.
Shamar, check out what he's got,
he said, nodding toward the bag in my arm. Shamar tried to yank the sandwiches from my arm, but I held on.
Get out of my face,
I said, shoving him back. That's when a fist crashed like a brick against my sore jaw. The hit spun my head around and sent pain shooting through my face. I was still on my feet when someone kicked my leg right where Larry had the day before. It felt like someone was stabbing me, it hurt so bad. I screamed and went down on the sidewalk, dropping the sandwiches.
Dude is soft,
someone said then. They had no idea I was already hurt. Hands started rifling through my pockets as I struggled to get up.
Get off me,
I yelled, managing to elbow Shamar. He backed away.
Hit him again, Rodney,
he urged. I braced myself. A second punch exploded into my stomach, and I went down again, fighting for breath. By the time I picked myself up, Shamar and Rodney were gone. So were the sandwiches and all Larry's change. My heart was pounding when I got home. I was afraid to tell Larry what happened. As soon as I walked in, I spotted Mom sitting on the couch, a Marlboro in her mouth. She looked exhausted as usual.
What took you so long?
Larry barked as soon as he saw me. He noticed right away I wasn't carrying anything. I wished I could just disappear and never see him again. He came closer.
Where's our food and my change?
I got jumped, I explained, embarrassed to say the words.
What?
A couple guys stepped up to me on my way home. I tried to fight them, but they took everything, I admitted. Larry stared at me as if I disgusted him.
You can't do nothing right, can you?
He yelled, and then he started cursing.
Next time you lose my money, I'm going to kick your butt worse than any of them kids. You hear me, Benny boy?
My face burned, and I wanted to scream, but Larry's angry stare kept me quiet.
Oh, Larry, it's not his fault,
Mom said, taking a puff of her cigarette. Part of me wanted her to stand up more for me, but I knew she couldn't. What if she said something that set him off again? There was no way we could handle him. Larry shook his head at me and grabbed his wallet.
I can't stand to look at you anymore, he grumbled. I'm going to go get the sandwiches myself. If I find those kids, they're in trouble.
As soon as he left, Mom put her cigarette down and grabbed some ice and a washcloth for my swollen face.
Just don't let him get to you. He'll be all right once he gets some food in his belly, she said.
I couldn't stand to have her babying me, and I didn't want to hear her take his side again. It was all too much, hurting me more than any punches. I got up and headed toward the steps. Mom shook her head, grabbed her cigarette, and plopped back on the couch. She seemed so tired, not just on the outside, but on the inside too, like it had seeped into her bones somehow. I climbed the long, hot stairway to my room, wondering how Mom and I would survive the sudden changes storming through our lives.